Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
BYU basketball off to a 4-1 start. Their sole loss at Long Beach State. Weird night. Weird game. Lots of turnovers. Missed field goals and lots of missed free throws lead to the Cougars' demise earlier in the season. Also, late night start time. I don't know. Everybody has a stinker. Let's blame it on like a Freaky Friday type thing. Team was off late at night. Whatever the case is. They lose down there, but they pick up a game. I initially thought that they might lose. I believe in the preseason preview of our show, I predicted that the Cougars would lose to Belmont. So they made up that loss in their drive to make it into the NCAA tournament. Cougars away from home, though, yes, not gone well. So their four wins have all been at home. The one away from home was a loss, and it was really difficult. And there's nothing like going to the Huntsman Center when you're having troubles on the road. And maybe it's too early to say they're having troubles on the road, but it'll be a tough test playing up in the Huntsman Center. Before we go any further, congratulations to Kyle Collinsworth. 7 triple-doubles, the new NCAA record since they've been recorded, right? A lot of Michigan State fans are saying, well, Magic Johnson had 8. Well, so I think Kyle Collinsworth may pass them. It's funny how passe it's become. Like, oh yeah, no, he'll get another triple-double. Like, oh sure, Kyle Collinsworth, yes. So just he'll get one, he'll get another 2, you know. Then we can shut up the Michigan State fans about Magic Johnson. Think about the names that he's involved with there. Shaquille O'Neal, Magic Johnson, Jason Kidd is on that list. The stuff that Kyle Collinsworth has done as a complete player is really super-duper impressive. Obviously, we expected those things from Kyle Collinsworth. We expected him to pick up some of the scoring load. The real thing that we wondered is who is going to use more possessions. The answer to that question has been Nick Emery, who's been nothing short of fabulous except for that one weird performance against Long Beach State, where everybody played like updog. Nick Emery's been outstanding. I think there may be an argument to be made that he may be the most consistent performer on this BYU basketball team. That you're going to see from him very good offensive play and then a good amount of effort on the defensive end. I think Nick Emery, obviously, he's 4 out of 5 games, reached double figures. He's made it to 20 points twice in his first 5 games. It's really way too early to think about this, but if he's going to break what I consider the most unbreakable BYU sports record, he needs to basically be perfect from here out. The record that I'm referring to is consecutive games in a row reaching 10 points or more. So reaching double figures, consecutive games in a row. The record holder is Danny Ainge, and that is 112 games in a row. Incredible feat. You have to be healthy, and you cannot have an off game. Can't have a single one. And if you think about it, let's assume you have 35 games. 3 season equals 105 games. Nick Emery will essentially need to reach 10 points every game from now through the rest of his career in order to kind of break this record, or at least halfway. He could maybe delay it to like the midway point of West Coast Conference play and then not have any slip-ups. I'm not saying that he's going to get there. All I'm saying is that it's in play. And the fact that I can say that that's in play, that we may be looking at 113 consecutive games reaching double figures. That's amazing. That's really, truly amazing. And that's the kind of talent that Nick Emery is offensively. I think that he's been great. His offensive rating, which is a rating that says in 100 possessions, how many points you would score. He's leading the team in offensive rating. He would get 120 points, which is pretty darn good. The other thing that I've really liked about Nick Emery is it was like something clicked in his head in that third game of the year against Adams State, where there was like this recognition that, and he led the team in this, that in order to play good defense, you have to give a lot of effort. In order to really make a defensive difference, you've got to be so locked in and you got to be ready to really move your body and exude a lot of effort and also mental energy on the defensive end of the floor. And that's something that they've done far better against Belmont. They were better at it. Against Adams State, they were better. They had a kind of a little bit of a drawback, but they still did pretty good against Mississippi Valley State. Those first two games against UVU, against Long Beach State, there's kind of cruise control efforts going on defensively. And that's not acceptable. There has to be a high amount of energy. It's nice to see that we have a guy that's ready to go defensively on that side. Another player that is really going defensively, obviously Kyle Collinsworth has done well, but by defensive rating in all of college basketball, one of the top 20 players in defensive rating, which is how many points your opponent would score on you if they took 100 possessions, Kyle Davis, his defensive rating so far this season is outrageous. Outrageous. He's given up 77.2 points. When people in 100 possessions, so if there was 100 possessions against him, they're only going to come away with 77.2 points. That's outrageous. That's outrageous. He's doing really good things on the defensive end of the floor, at least in terms of defensive rating. He's certainly rebounding really great. On the offensive end of the floor for Kyle Davis, I don't mind a lot of what I see. He's pretty good on the offensive end of the floor, and he will score. His free throws are atrocious. Really bad, 43%. That's really bad. But when he shoots from the field, it's pretty good, and his work in the post is pretty good. Here's where he's killing BYU on the offensive end of the floor. His turnover rate is 26.8%. This means Kyle Davis, more than one in four times that he uses a possession, which means either turning the ball over, getting a shot off, or getting to the free throw line. Every time he uses a possession, okay, there's a one in four chance. There's a better than one in four chance that it's going to end in a turnover. That's bad. That's really bad. He turns it over at way too high of a clip. And maybe those numbers are inflated because they've had a couple stinkers, like I mentioned, in terms of turnovers. But Kyle Davis in particular seems to turn over the ball at a rate that's particularly high. Again, greater than one in four possessions that he uses ends in turnover. That's not good. That's a big problem. And that's something that will really hurt the Cougars. You know, one of the things that's so great about having a guy like Kyle Davis and even Corbin Kafusi and the fact that they can score, if you remember, the problem last year was balance, that they weren't able to put it together all across the floor. And it was because there wasn't balance. There wasn't any scoring threats underneath the hoop. One of the benefits of having a guy that can score from the post is you hope that they are then going to facilitate the ball back out to the three-point line, and that's going to result in a few buckets. And this could be because nobody's really double-teaming Kyle Davis or Corbin Kafusi, and so there isn't any help defense coming, and that doesn't leave an open player. But on the season, Kyle Davis has 6 assists. Corbin Kaufusi has 2 assists. And their turnovers are far surpassed that, right? 6 turnovers for, or sorry, Kyle Davis, 6 assists, and he's got 19 turnovers. Corbin Kaufusi, 2 assists, 11 turnovers. They turn it over too much. Corbin Kaufusi, he turns it over at a pretty high rate too, 21.3% of the time. So greater than 1 in 5 of Corbin Kaufusi's touches, or not touches, but used possessions result in turnover. It's not going to do the job. And it's part of the reason why I think we've seen less of Jake Toulson on the season. Is Jake Toulson, for a wing, he's turning it over 21.1%. And so that's one of the problems that the Cougars are having is they get it into the post, but it's sort of a black hole that it doesn't kind of contract the defense and then make them spread back out. And we're not using that. And the reason is and this is my theory through 5 games, is I just don't think Kyle Davis is a very good passer. I don't think Corbin Kaufusi is a very good passer. Jamal Ates is not a great passer. We don't have any post guys that can really pass the ball, though Nate Austin's been probably our best person at passing the basketball, from the post at least. I just think that this is one of the problems with the BYU offense, is that if you're going to work into the post, and I like that they have been working into the post, it can't always be that it goes down there and then we go to work and we force up a shot. And that's what always seems to be happening. And so this is something to keep an eye on and see if it can develop. And it will be important going forward in the season, especially against the University of Utah. Last player I wanted to really dive into. Thought we'd see more Jake Toulson this year. We're not seeing as much of Jake Toulson, though. When he shoots, he's making shots. The other guy I wanted to talk about is Chase Fisher. Fisher, obviously, playing a ton of minutes. Second on the team in minutes. To this point of the season, has been a far more valuable defensive asset than he has been offensively. And he at least seems to be exuding some energy on that end at times. But Chase Fisher has to hit shots. If the Cougars are going to be successful this year, if we're going to go into the Huntsman Center and beat the University of Utah, if they're going to make some noise at the Diamond Head Classic in Honolulu, if they're going to do special things this year, it'll be because Chase Fisher was a big part of the team. You know, the Cougars have had this, it seems like we've had it forever now, with Dave Rose, where there's a player on the team, and if that player is playing well, then the Cougars win. But if that player is not playing well, then the Cougars will lose. It's been Tavernari, then it was Carlino, now it's Chase Fisher. And we got to get some consistency out of Chase Fisher. And I've been a little frustrated at times watching him defensively. I guess that's why he's getting the minutes, or that you trust that he is prolific enough at shooting the basketball that he's got to shoot his way out of it. And so we're going to let him keep playing. But I've been really tempted to, and I wonder if Dave Rose has been tempted to, look at Chase as a guy where you treat him the way that we treated Rose. I believe it was Mike Rose. Or anyways, the redheaded guy. Redheaded Rose. But you would bring him into the game. He'd take a shot. If he made it, he'd get to keep playing. And just use him as a heat check guy. And if he's shooting great, then wonderful. And let him stay on the floor. And if he's not shooting great, then let's move on. You've certainly got a lot of options. And that was the thing that really stuck out to Tosh and myself when we talked in the season preview. And it's the thing that I have felt about this team all year, is they haven't really looked sharp, except against Belmont. Turns out, if Chase Fisher shoots good, Kyle Collinsworth gets a triple-double, and Nick Emery gets 27 points, you're really good. It's hard to beat you. Turns out that when all your players play really well, you're going to win. The thing that I've wondered, and the hard part for Dave Rose, has been about calibrating this team, figuring out lineups, figuring out what it is that they're trying to do in order to win games, and how they're going to win games, and how they're going to compete. And I think we've made some steps in identifying and getting an identity for this team and understanding what we want to do to try to win. And I think it took a bit, but not too long. It took 3 games, and we've really looked at Nick Emery and trying to rely on him and have him make plays for us and score some big baskets for the team. Let Kyle Collinsworth do Kyle Collinsworth things, but when it comes to scoring the basketball, make that Nick Emery's duty, that he's kind of the guy we're going to look at to do those things. And I think that that's what we're seeing as we go forward, but the Cougars need to continue to identify ways in which they're going to try to play in order to win basketball games. I don't think they're very comfortable on defense. I think that their zone hasn't been as good in the past as it has been in the past. That's really saying something. I actually think, you know, BYU hasn't been very good on defense for a lot of years, but I think their zone defense this year at times has looked really shaky depending on personnel. So there's some real issues there in figuring out, you know, what's going to work, who's going to work on the floor. And unfortunately, the learning curve is, it's live ball learning curve. You have to make those adjustments on the fly. I think Dave Rose is, he's navigated the team to 4-1. And as things get a little tougher as the year goes on, it'll be really important to have a better understanding of what we really do well, what we can rely on, and kind of make things work. On a side note, let's stop having, like I said, I don't think Kyle Davis is a good passer. At the end of games or when you have an out-of-bounds play with a short shot clock, we keep having Kyle Davis be our inbound pass guy. But I don't see why it's not Kyle Collinsworth. He's probably your best passer. And beyond that, he's big, so he can get the passes off. And then lastly, he's not a jump shooter. So he's not a guy that you're going to inbound and then he's going to turn with 2 seconds and fire up a shot. So I don't really understand what we're doing there. I would like to see us move on from Kyle Davis. Let's talk about the University of Utah. Tough team. Really tough team. 5-1 on the year. Their only loss is to a very good Miami team. They've come away with victories against San Diego State, Texas Tech. They beat Temple. So they have a few pretty good wins. Of course, they'd love to beat BYU. Guy that will be really difficult for the Cougars to handle will be Jacob Poeltl. Or it's, I guess I always say Poeltl because I say it the way it looks, but it's Poeltl. So Jacob Poeltl, the Austrian center, 7-footer. He is absolutely dynamic. He means everything to them. Everything to them. He is their offensive rock. Okay? You remember I said I was impressed with how many possessions had been used on the offensive end of the floor by Nick Emery, and his offensive rating was a 120. Offensive rating, again, how many points you'll score when you use 100 possessions. So I was impressed with 120. So Jacob Poeltl this year is at an offensive rating of 138.4. That's awesome. He's prolific. Okay, near that basket, he's pretty untouchable. He's really tough to handle. And then beyond that, the thing about Poeltl is he also shoots 72% from the field. Or 72% from the line. He's shooting nearly that well from the field. He's hitting 2 out of 3. So 66% of his shots are going to the bottom of the net. So he's a problem. Poeltl is a problem. You know who else is a problem? Great defensive player, and he can really cause problems. He'll be a problem if he's on Fisher or Emery. Those guys will have a hard time with Jordan Loveridge. Jordan Loveridge has been great for the University of Utah. He's great at hitting threes. He usually gets them open. Poeltl is a good passer from the post, so that's something to watch out for. We will definitely be double-teaming on him. BYU is not good at closing out on threes. I worry significantly about BYU's ability to defend the three against the Utes. I think the Utes will shoot a lot of threes and absolutely kill the Cougars from time to time if they shoot the way that we think they can. They've had, and it's been leverage, right? 44% on the season. Bonham has hit half of his threes this year. And then they've had some guys that have really struggled. Breckett Chapman, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Taylor. They have struggled to hit shots from outside. But if the shots are falling for them in the Huntsman Center from three, I think the Cougars will. I don't know that they can beat Utah. If Utah hits threes, I'm not sure that the Cougars have the ability to hang with the University of Utah. So that'll be interesting. If they shoot over 40% from three, or even 37, 36%, like, I think you'll see that the Cougars will really struggle, really struggle against the U. So I think those are the two guys that scare me the most. Jordan Loveridge, defensively, he scares me. Jacob Pertle, he scares me defensively. He's a good force. He blocks some shots. He's actually not as good of a shot blocker as Corbin Kaufusi. But I see that he's probably a good enough defensive player to neutralize a lot of what we want to do from the post. I think that he'll neutralize some of the work that we'll be able to accomplish with, that we have been able to accomplish with Kyle Davis, some of the stuff that we've been able to do with Corbin Kaufusi. I think that you'll see that Pirtle will limit the Cougars and what they're trying to do in the post. And I think all those things make me really nervous about this game. And so I'm kind of leaning towards the Cougars dropping this game. It's a tough road game. Really good Utah team. I think Coach K up there, Kriskowiak, I think he's a really good coach. The other thing that will be really important in this game, and something that the U has done really well the last couple times we've played them, has been controlling the tempo of the game. I think that that has been a huge, huge part of the equation, you know, in the most recent matchups between BYU and the University of Utah. BYU is 17th in the nation in tempo. Okay, they get off 75 possessions a game. That's a lot. They move up and down the floor at rapid pace. Meanwhile, the University of Utah is 201st, okay? They want to only have 69 or 70 possessions per game. So that is going to be one of the biggest problems. And the other problem that I had mentioned is BYU is still figuring out what they need to do to win. They're trying to get an identity. The U knows what they like to do. They like to work it to the post. They like to have a double team cheat down. They like to pass, then the guy who helps the helper, then we pass off that, and then if they get an opportunity to take an open three, they like to take them, and they're good at making them. That was one of the keys for the University of Miami. When Miami beat them, first of all, they shot really well. Shot the basketball. They shot the crap out of the basketball. But then the other thing that they were really great at doing was closing out. The U didn't make threes, and they were contested threes, and they really felt the pressure closing out on threes. And that's not really an ability that I feel that BYU will be able to exploit. So I don't mean to be all doom and gloom for you, but I think that sometimes it's just the case that I think the other team has a better system for what fits for them right now. They know what they want to do, and they have a couple guys that will make the difference. They have an answer for in the post. We don't have an answer for Jacob Pirtle. I don't see anything that we'll be able to do unless we can get him in foul trouble. That's a player I don't see us having a real opportunity to kind of do a whole lot about. It's because we foul. We foul way too much. I think that you're going to see Corbin Kaufusi get in foul trouble, and I think you're going to see Nate Austin get in foul trouble. I think we're going to see Braden Shaw trying to guard Jacob Pirtle at some points in this game. That's not going to work. So he's a real problem, and I don't know what the Cougars can do to kind of eliminate that. Meanwhile, they have Jordan Loveridge. And again, if it's Nick Emery, I see Nick Emery being troubled by the defensive efforts of Jordan Loveridge. If it's Kyle Collinsworth who's burning him up, I think Jordan Loveridge can match up there. And so there's things that they can do where they can move Loveridge on whoever their hot hand is. And then hopefully, for the Cougars' sake, you know, Brandon Taylor will have to move over. He competes hard as a guard. But what will happen is I hope that the Cougars can find that they can really be effective. And it's going to have to come from that second or third guard on the floor. So if it's Zach Zelius and he's in the game, then he needs to hit a few shots. If it's going to be Chase Fisher, then he's got to do it. If it's going to be Jake Toulson, he's going to be a player. If it's going to be Jordan Chapman, okay, all these players take tons of threes. All of those players I just named, Corey Calvert, all of them take more than half of their shots come behind the arc. And so they're going to have to hit those shots, and those are the guys that are going to make the difference for the Cougars. If the Cougars are to win this game, they will not get in foul trouble. And then the other problem is that they need to solve is they need to get scoring from that third or fourth option, and it needs to get to a point where now, oh, look, the Cougars have five or six guys in double figures. I think that that's how they're going to have to do it. But in order to do that, you really have to pass the ball. You have to move it around. You got to take care of the ball. They've been prone to have bad nights with turnovers. Lastly, they're going to have to hit some good free throws. It should be a really good game. I know that it sounds like I'm thinking Utah by 20. I don't think that. But I do think that the Cougars, they've got to get out. They've got to score. And then that's the other one. Once they get a lead, and it's really hard to do this, but boy, if they can extend, if there's a moment where Utah's discombobulated, they've really got to extend leads. They got to get it to double digits. I won't even flirt with the idea of getting up 20. But if they can get it to 10 and that range, it's really going to be tough because the Cougars can fill it up. They know how to score. And so I think it'll be interesting and watch the pace of play. And boy, it's exciting, isn't it? So this is the one game. This is the rivalry game this year. I hope to see the Cougars come away with the victory. Can't be three in a row, can it? It can't be the Utes 3 years in a row. Yes, it can. There's a likelihood that it will be 3 years in a row, but I hope not. So, with that, we'll end this episode of CougarCast. I apologize again. It's only me. Holidays have been very busy for Tosh and I. A couple vacations and business trips have kept us apart, but it's been a really exciting time. We're still following it, and we've gotten a couple of emails from people wondering where we've been. Someone complained that because we didn't have a CougarCast out, they actually had to talk to their family on Thanksgiving. That was really funny. So I appreciate that, and I apologize. We've been away for a little bit, but we're back on track now. We'll watch that game tomorrow night. Maybe I'm getting together with Tosh on Thursday, so maybe we'll have a quick review of the Utah game, unless it's miserable, and then we won't. So with that, follow me. I'm Keith Church. You can follow me at CougarCast on Twitter. Also, you can email the show CougarCast@gmail.com. And of course, really important that you subscribe to us on iTunes. Just click the little button. Comes to your phone right when we publish. You'll get it before everyone else. If you listen to this on Vanquish the Foe, that's great. Read the articles there. Listen to us. Keep coming to VanquishTheFoe.com. But if you want the episodes right away, make sure you subscribe. So thank you for listening so much, and go Cougars.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!